You are listening to a divine service.
Or a lecture.
Or a sermon.
Or a performance.
Or a podcast.
Or something else.
From St. Vladimir Orthodox Church.
Join us soon in person.
Just Google St. Vladimir Ann Arbor.
On our website, you will find our full schedule of services.
And a lot more.
Find us on Facebook.
Or on Vkontakte. Yeah.
Or follow us on Twitter.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
But most importantly,
please know that you are always welcome at St. Vladimir's.
Enjoy this audio presentation of St. Vladimir's Church, and please join us in person soon.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we gather in the parish church, and it seems to us to be kind of a summer, kind of a day like any other day, a Sunday that is not particularly special. But I think it's very important to us regularly to be attentive to what is being read in the church. And if we are attentive, especially to the gospel reading that was read today, it should begin to make us think very deeply. Great Lent is a really special time of the year. It encompasses about 10% of our year, but that 10% is a time that is especially set aside for us to very diligently work on our spiritual lives. Because that time is so special, the Holy Church provides for us several weeks of preparation before we get to Great Lent. Because frankly speaking, if we begin to think about Great Lent on Forgiveness Sunday, it's pretty much already too late. Because that time will fly by so quickly. When we are standing in the church on Forgiveness Sunday and I'm being reminded about how much certain people's legs hurt and, you know, this is very difficult and so on and so forth, seems like Pascha will never come. But then we begin our great Lenten journey and we absolutely cannot believe that we are standing at Pascha and that it has gone so fast. Because of that, brothers and sisters, the Holy Church gives us several Sundays of preparation. And officially, those Sundays begin next week. Right? We have the publican and the Pharisee, then the prodigal son, then the casting out of Adam, then the Sunday of the Last Judgment. All those weeks have a specific message that they are sending us, helping us to prepare for the Great Lent. But this week, we get a bonus week. We get another week to help us prepare, because on this Sunday, before we begin the Lenten Triodion, before we start to use that book, that special lectionary that is used for Great Lent, the Gospel of Zacchaeus is read. Now, it happens every year. This beautiful, beautiful Gospel of Zacchaeus. But if we don't understand, for instance, what a publican is, then this gospel seems like not very much to us. Christ went to eat at some guy's house, he gave some money to the poor, amen, let's leave. But there's a lot more happening there. So let's look at what a publican is. And remember, Zacchaeus was not just a publican, he was the leader of the publicans. And it says in the gospel that he was very rich. Just so we make this clear from the very beginning, not rich in spiritual riches, at least not until today. So, a publican was a tax collector, basically. We don't like tax collectors now. Nobody likes tax collectors. We like to give as little tax as we can possibly get away with. That's human nature. But when the Romans took over Israel, they established a system of tax collectors called publicans. And they had used these all over the world as they took over the world. Even in Rome, they had these publicans. Well, they chose to have the local population be those publicans. They didn't bring people in from Rome. If you think about it, if you lived in Rome, why would you want to go to, you know, to this place? So they took local people. But there were big repercussions to choosing to work for the Romans. To do that, you had to give up all hope in the coming Messiah. You had to apostatize from the true faith. You had to make a sacrifice to the Roman emperor. You had to become a pagan. And that was a very big deal. And you'll see why this is even so important, more so for Zacchaeus today. And not only did you have to apostatize from the faith, but the publicans were known for not just collecting the tax that was required by the Romans, but a little extra for their own pockets too. And he says that Zacchaeus was rich, so he must have been really good at taking that extra from people. So not only did people hate giving taxes, not that they only hate being subjugated by these pagan people, but their own guys were taking the money from them and extra. So now comes Zacchaeus. And he heard that there is this Galilean teacher in the world. Could it be the Messiah? Could the promised one actually be here? And if you're Zacchaeus, that's very bad news. Why is that bad news? One, he already gave up on that for this world, only for material things. That's all he was focused on. Just like basically the rest of our world. So this is something that really should hit home with us. And if the Messiah comes, that means the Romans are out. What do you think the people are going to do to Zacchaeus? Oh, don't worry about it. It's not a big problem. We don't care that you extorted money from us, that you work for the Romans. It's fine. Of course, they're going to kill him. It's very bad news for him. Everything that he worked for, everything that he lived for, all his materialism that he invested in, if the Messiah comes, it's all going to be for naught. But when Christ came down to Jericho, where Zacchaeus was, and that's an allusion to Jericho's low. It's a low part of the country. It shows that God came down to man. He didn't stand up on a high mountain waiting for man to come to him. God came down to us. He goes down to Jericho, and there is Zacchaeus. And he doesn't run. He doesn't hide. Something inside him makes him want to look and see, who is this? Could this really be that Messiah that's going to ruin my life, but somehow I just have to know? And there's so many people there. He can't see because he's a little guy. So, but he's a very proud Roman citizen. He's an important person. He's almost royalty, you could say. And certainly that's how he felt about himself. But nonetheless, he scampers up this tree. Can you imagine, if we had some kind of, if our governor was coming by and he was a little guy and he wanted to see something and he ran up in a tree. That's that same kind of thing. It's just silly. But he was overcome by this strong desire to see Christ. And what happened was he saw Christ, but Christ saw him. And Zacchaeus looks down on him and Christ looks up at him and touches his soul. Something that he never thought was there, that he gave up on, even if it was there, it comes forward. And Zacchaeus comes down from the tree, and Christ says to him, I'm coming to your house to eat. Now, we have to take a pause here, because that seems kind of rude. We don't just come up to somebody and say, I'm coming to your house today to eat. And Dima is very welcoming, but not everybody necessarily would be. There were even rules about who Jews could eat with. Couldn't eat with pagans. No way. Not possible. And if we think about it, our meal that we have with our family, that's a very intimate gathering. And the people that we invite to that, those are not usually just some guy off the street or somebody that we ran into that day for the first time. It's somebody that we care about, that means something to us, that shares our values usually, or even if they don't, that we love them anyway and we can tolerate that. Here, Christ is saying to this sinner, now we're not even making a judgment about what's in his soul. He sinned. He made a pagan sacrifice. He apostatized from the true faith. It's open. It's not a question. Christ is going to that sinner to eat, to have this most intimate relationship with him, and definitely violating the law, because you can't eat with a pagan. And what does this Zacchaeus say when they get together? Welcome to my house. You're a Galilean peasant. I'm a Roman. You have to bow down before me. No. He could have, but no. What happens? Not only does he continue to humble himself as he has, but he repents. And here it is, brothers and sisters. This is where this is all leading to, is repentance. And what does he say? Oh, I'm sorry, forgive me. No. He says, I will restore four times anything that I have taken from someone falsely. And I'm going to take half of all of these riches that I've acquired by these very dubious means, and I'm going to give them to the poor. And what does Christ say? It's not enough. You're already an apostate. I don't care. No. He says, today salvation has come to this house. There are a lot of things, brothers and sisters, that we could hear worse than that. And frankly speaking, if that's the only thing we hear for the rest of our lives, and we give up our last breath after having heard that from the Lord, we've had a good life. You see, brothers and sisters, repentance is not something which is passive. Repentance is not something that goes on just in your brain. If we understand repentance, it means, if you break down the Greek word, it basically means to walk on another path. Not to just be, oh, I'm sorry, I'll do it again. I'm sorry, I'm going to make amends if I can, and I'm never doing that again, even if it costs me my life. That is repentance. And Great Lent is this time of reflective repentance. But not repentance like, oh, I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad. Repentance like, salvation can come to my house too, just like it came to Zacchaeus' house. But I have to sincerely try to change. Now, Zacchaeus was definitely on the outs with God. But his repentance changed him. And he was reunited to God. And that's what the mystery of repentance does for us too. Not just during Great Lent, at all times. We call this confession when we come to confess our sins. It's actually called repentance. God will forgive us as long as we make a sincere effort not to repeat our sins. And not only was Zacchaeus forgiven, but he was crowned. How so? He left off being a servant to the Romans in the worldly sense. And he went with Apostle Peter to Rome to be a servant to them in the spiritual sense. To bring to them not money, but something absolutely eternal. Not something temporal and passing, but something that they would hold and keep for their salvation forever, which was the true faith. He is known as an apostle. This is a remarkable story of someone completely turning their life around. And we can do it too. That's why this is such a beautiful gospel, brothers and sisters. That's why this is so important for us, for our salvation. And that's why the Holy Church gives us this gospel. To get us thinking, to get us planning, to get us reflecting. If that guy was so bad, I'm not so bad. If he was so bad, and he repented, and God forgave him, won't he forgive me too? And the answer, brothers and sisters, is yes. But we have to run up into the tree. We have to go to God. We have to make the first step. And so let's decide, brothers and sisters, on this day, this beautiful Zacchaeus Sunday, when we hear about this short little stumpy guy who sinned greatly but repented and had salvation come to his house, let's decide that we will do that too. That we will not just repent like, oh, I'm sorry, God will forgive me. I'm sorry, I'm going to change, and I'm going to make amends where I can. And if we do that, brothers and sisters, then that great repentance, that struggle, that emulation of Zacchaeus will send us down the path towards the heavenly kingdom, which he followed when he followed Christ. May the Lord grant this to all of us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio production of St. Vladimir Orthodox Church in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Please join us in person soon. To learn more about our parish, please visit our website, stva2.org. That's S as in Sam, T as in Tom, V as in Victor, A as in Apple, the number 2.org. See you soon at St. Vladimir's.